Today on Compassion Radio.
Philip is not reading from the book of Acts saying this is how you do it.
Right.
He's living it. The word is coming and is now in his flesh, reaching out through him. And because these believers understood that the scripture story, the revelation of Jesus, was now made a living reality in the body and the blood of Jesus, they know the story. So the writer of Acts doesn't spend time saying this is specifically what Philip said.
Right.
We know what he's telling him. We know that he's revealing that Jesus was the Son of God, the Son of Man, the one who is the sheep that was slaughtered for our sins.
Welcome back to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. Today, Bram and his wife Sandy continue with their weekly study in the book of Acts called Chasing the Word Together. Now, do you know who the first New Testament believer was? Well, we're going to find out today. I'm Frank Montenegro, and here's Bram and Sandy with today's broadcast.
Okay, honey, we're back for the last of this mini-series just on the chapter 8 of Acts. You know, we consider this whole Chasing the Word series to be important to us because it's bringing to life not just the words of the apostles and what they did, like a calendar of events.
Mm-hmm.
It is a living memory for them as they wrote this, and we need to treat it like that. And we're going to finish up today's discussion on chapter 8 about how exciting it is when people respond to the gospel.
Well, it's exciting because it's a challenge to us to really dig and see what the scripture is telling us and how we can apply it to ourselves today. I love that about the scripture.
So let's get back to it.
So after Peter and John had spent their time in Samaria, they returned to Jerusalem, stopping along the way and encouraging believers and proclaiming the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But meanwhile, we still have Philip in the story. He's still in the picture. We hear in verse 26 that a heavenly messenger brought a message to Philip during his time while he was preaching in Samaria. And the messenger said, "Leave Samaria and go south to the Jerusalem-Gaza road."
Now, this time that he's hearing from the angel may have been together with John and Peter. I kind of think that maybe he was coming back to give a report to the folks in Jerusalem and walking with them. And along the way, God just said, "Keep going.
Mm.
Don't stop here. Just keep going. I got stuff for you to do." And so he kept going.
Well, it was an unusual message because this is a very deserted part of this road that he was called to. But he got up and he went straight there. And he was wanting to do what he was told to do. So he was walking along this road and he saw a chariot in the distance. And in the chariot was a dignitary from Ethiopia, the treasurer for Queen Candace. This was an African eunuch. He had gone to Jerusalem to worship at the temple. And he was now heading southwest on his way home. He was seated in the chariot and was reading out loud from a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. Now Philip received another message from the Holy Spirit, which said, "Go over to the chariot and climb on board." So he started to run until he was even with the chariot, and Philip heard the Ethiopian reading out loud and recognized the words from the prophet Isaiah. And he asked the man, "Do you understand the meaning of what you're reading?" The Ethiopian replied, "How can I understand it unless I have a mentor or someone to explain it?"
Which is kind of a strange way to address somebody that's running up to catch up to your chariot.
Mm.
I mean, think about this crazy guy, a prophet who's running along the road, probably is not carrying anything. God just dropped him in there and said, "Keep walking. Oh, that's the guy. Go get him." And of course, this is the part of Israel right now, which is in the crosshairs between Gaza and the Israeli Defense Forces. When you see on the news that there are missiles flying back and forth between the occupied territories and the Gaza Strip itself, that's where this is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Downhill in the desert areas where it's much, much drier. And there's no Mediterranean breezes coming in like they are in Tel Aviv farther west of there. It's just a dry, dry spot. It also has to be a pretty, you might call it a magical spot, because suddenly there's going to be water there shortly, like a spring or something. So of all the places along this road where God would preordain for this meeting to happen, there's going to be a few important elements there ready to go. And this guy is ready to hear Philip talk to him and share with him. So he says a very interesting greeting. How am I supposed to figure this out without someone to explain it? He might be frustrated. He might be exasperated. He might have heard these scriptures from somebody in the temple before he headed south saying, "Read these scriptures. God's got something in this for you."
Mm, mm-hmm.
And it may have been one of those quiet followers of Jesus in the temple that told him to read this. We don't know why he's in this chapter, except that God wanted him reading it.
Right.
And wanted Philip there to tell him what it meant.
Right. I love that God is really drawing this man. He's wooing him to come to him. And this is a great example of how God does that in our lives. When we least expect it, he will draw us in and love on us.
And if we look at Acts as being kind of a template, a way that God's showing us the forms in which he works and wants to continue working throughout history until he comes back to set up his kingdom on earth, then we need to look at that and say, God is telling us something about how he works now and how we should be thinking about how to work with others. Mm-hmm. We need to be looking for divine appointments and being willing to say yes when God says go. Mm-hmm. And when we hear the questions being asked, do not hesitate. I mean, we don't know how long the windows open for people to actually hear or listen to the word. You know, sometimes they're very short. Mm-hmm. And yet, here we are. And this man is reading something that is powerful. I also believe that God wanted this message, this way of interaction, this way of talking about the word in community, two people together, searching it together, that God wants known. Mm-hmm. If we are hungry and we really want to know, that God can, does, and will send us somebody to help. Mm-hmm. And they become fast friends as a result. The scripture there says,
like a sheep he was led to be slaughtered, like a lamb about to be shorn of its wool, he was completely silent. He was humiliated, and he received no justice. Who can describe his peers? Who would treat him this way? For they snuffed out his life.
We know, as believers, of course, that that is an absolute encapsulation of the trial and the crucifixion of Jesus. There's no doubt in our minds. So we're speaking about a very specific person, and Jesus lived to a T those words.
But the Ethiopian says, is this the prophet describing himself in his own situation, or is this someone else's calamity? And thus began a conversation in which Philip used this very passage to explain the good news of Jesus. And I want to insert here that it is possible to explain the good news of Jesus from the Old Testament.
Yes, it is. How else was it explained back then? There was no New Testament written down yet. We're reading the account of these things. So Philip is not reading from the book of Acts saying, this is how you do it.
Right.
He's living it. The word is coming and is now in his flesh, reaching out through him. And because these believers understood that the scripture story, the revelation of Jesus, was now made a living reality in the body and the blood of Jesus, they know the story. So the writer of Acts doesn't spend time saying, this is specifically what Philip said.
Right.
We know what he's telling him. We know that he's revealing that Jesus was the Son of God, the Son of Man, the one who is the sheep that was slaughtered for our sins.
I'm convinced that Philip gave his personal testimony as well, that he said to him, this is how I came to know Jesus. I know these scriptures. I grew up reading these scriptures. And this is how God revealed to me who Jesus is, and this is what Jesus did for me, and also what he did for you.
And I think that any believer who really does have Jesus in their heart, as we would say in modern language, in other words, that the Holy Spirit has come to set up residence there, has enough scripture that the Holy Spirit can use it in any conversation. Mm-hmm. So there may be times where people say, you're crazy for believing what you believe. A conversation can ensue from that, saying, you're right, it's a crazy thing. And you don't have to have the four spiritual laws memorized word for word in order to lead somebody through what you know to be true in your own heart. But you do have your experiences, and you do have the scripture that God can bring out of your heart that confirms the truth to you as evidence that it could also be true for them if they're willing to yield. And that's all a testimony really is giving an account for what's really happened to you. You don't tell someone else's testimony.
Right.
You don't talk about how Philip experienced the gospel and preached it and did miracles. You might read the scriptures about those things later. But if someone says, you mean it's really true for you? Come on. It can't possibly be real. Mm-hmm. Say, well, for me it is. And this is how. That's all a testimony is. Mm-hmm. But the word of God is the power of that story. It's not just that we have an experience. It's that the word of God is the one that led us to that experience. And so it will come back around to putting Jesus center. And I think any testimony that avoids talking about Jesus is not a testimony. We have to be able to say, it's real in me, and Jesus really is who he says he is. I'm convinced of that now. It's something that has to be attested to somehow.
Exactly.
There's no formula here, but there is truth. Mm-hmm. And the truth has to be that God has in fact, convinced us at the bottom of our heart of hearts that Jesus is, in fact, the Son of God, that he did take on my penalty, and that in doing so, he put it to death, and I don't have to worry about it anymore. I am forgiven of that debt.
Right.
And now begins real life.
Right.
That's it. So This is the kind of story that Philip's teaching him, and also teaching the meaning of who is being talked about in the scriptures. And then, as it continued along the road, they came to some water. Ta-da!
So the Ethiopian says to him, well, since there's water here, is there anything that might prevent me from being ceremonially washed through baptism and identified as a disciple of Jesus? And Philip says, if you believe in your heart that Jesus is God's son, nothing can stop you.
Yeah. And the man replied, I do believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That proclamation, we've heard in other parts of Scripture that no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Because we're saying that he has power and authority to deal with sin. And either we are crazy or heretics, or it's true, and we're attesting to it.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the options.
Mm-hmm. So I want to pose a question here that we talked about before. Do you believe or do you think that this was maybe the first African convert?
I think he's certainly the first New Testament believer that we know about.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, there may be other disciples that are running with the crowd from Jerusalem right now that were in Jerusalem and have come from parts of Africa. That's quite possible because it is an international city after all.
That's true.
But as someone who has some authority, someone who has some influence and leverage and is obviously a scholar mm-hmm. and has the resources available to him to really study deeply, he's going to affect people.
Mm-hmm.
And he's literally going to be giving a personal account to what he learned to his queen.
Mm-hmm.
Queen Candace would probably count her ancestors going all the way back to Queen Sheba. Quite possibly.
Could be.
Because of that, he's going back with great authority. Now, he says something in his own authority at this point. It says that he said, stop the chariot. He's the only person in the story that has the authority to do that.
Mm.
His first act as a believer is to stop the chariot and proclaim himself a follower. I think that's an important thing to say.
Mm.
He had the right to do it. He asked for counsel, but when he had his counsel, when he had his answer, he made a decision. And that first decision is, I need to acknowledge this by everything
right
that the word
now.
Says of me I need to do. So he's all in. And he's going to be all wet here in a second.
That's right. So he commanded the charioteer to stop the horses. Then Philip and the Ethiopian official walked together into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, Philip was immediately caught up by the Holy Spirit and taken from the sight of the Ethiopian, who climbed back into his chariot and continued on his journey, overflowing with joy.
Rejoicing.
Mm-hmm.
Probably singing loudly from his chariot. That's obviously miraculous, but we have this story. Now, I want to know how that sentence got in the story if it only came from Philip. Because if Philip puts him down in the water, and the next thing he knows, he's on the road at Azotus on his way to the port cities, how do we know this Ethiopian came up out of there and went on his way rejoicing?
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. Coming up next, more with Bram and Sandy Floria as they chase the word together here on Compassion Radio.
It was Desmond Tutu who said, hope is being able to see that there is light despite all of the darkness. Friends, this is Bram Floria, and I'd like to tell you about a wonderful opportunity for you to help some of the most at-risk people in the world, children and infants. To bring them out of the darkness of destitution and abandonment and into the hope of a bright future and a better life. It's Door of Hope in Johannesburg, South Africa, and it's seen thousands adopted, fostered, or even reclaimed by family members who had originally abandoned them. The good news is that there are already two very successful baby houses in existence, and our Compassion Radio partners like you had a big part in making those happen in the past. But we all know that babies don't stay babies forever, and that's why Door of Hope, in partnership with Compassion Radio, is seeking again this year to continue the construction of Hope Village. This transformational project will feature a large park playground, a school even, a church, a farm, and will eventually be completely self-sustaining. The kind and loving staff at Hope Village will provide each and every child with spiritual training and education, as well as a marketable skill to use when they grow up. Your financial gift will help ensure that each of these little ones has a chance at a bright and successful future. So please, pray and ask God how He would have you help. When you give, you'll be changing the eternal destiny of one child or more, desperately in need of hope right now. And here's the best part. For the first time ever, we have a special challenge grant on this project of $4,000 for this month, which means every dollar you give is going to be doubled if you will give now. Please call us at 1-800-868-2478 during business hours Pacific time or go to CompassionRadio.com to give right away. You can also write us at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92855. 1-800-868-2479. Again, that's 1-800-868-2478. Or go to CompassionRadio.com. And our mailing address again is P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And if you've got a smartphone or a tablet, just text the word KIDS to 53445. That's the word KIDS, K-I-D-S, to 53445. Thank you again for your willingness to be part of what God is doing in the lives of these children and infants in South Africa through the 2019 Compassion Radio Door of Hope Project. God bless you.
Celebrating 75 years in Christian broadcasting, this is Compassion Radio.
Then Philip and the Ethiopian official walked together into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, Philip was immediately caught up by the Holy Spirit and taken from the sight of the Ethiopian, who climbed back into his chariot and continued on his journey, overflowing with joy.
Rejoicing. Mm-hmm. Probably singing loudly from his chariot. That's obviously miraculous. But we have the story. Now, I want to know how that sentence got in the story if it only came from Philip. Because if Philip puts him down in the water, and the next thing he knows, he's on the road at Azotus on his way to the port cities, how do we know this Ethiopian came up out of there and went on his way rejoicing? I'm convinced that the word got down there and somebody investigated this, namely this investigative journalist named Luke. I bet he went and found this guy and said, "What's your story?"
Could be.
He would not lie or make things up. We know this is an accounting, not a novelization of what happened during those first years of the church. Mm-hmm. So somebody, maybe a letter came back saying, "I just want you to know the people of Africa are hearing the good news because of Philip." Mm-hmm. A letter quite possibly could have come back during that mm-hmm. time. But somehow we know that that Ethiopian went on his way rejoicing. Mm-hmm. So I want to at least put that in the lap of those who are listening to this program today saying, there might be people right now that are hearing this, are in their chariots going someplace. And no one's ever challenged you to say, get on board, get wet, learn how to really rejoice in the life that God really has for you. And you realize you want it. I want to invite you now. If you're that person right now and you're hearing this program and you want to step into that real life, I'm going to ask Sandy if you would to pray a prayer of invitation, as you would call it. Again, there's no magic in these things, but there's honesty. And if you are that person, you're that Ethiopian right now thinking, I need to really believe this thing with all my heart, all my life. and live it like I believe it and ask God in your heart. I want to invite you to go for it right now.
I'd be glad to pray that. First of all, Lord, we are so grateful for those who are listening today to this program. We are grateful that you give us opportunity to share your heart as you reveal yourself to us. And Father, I thank you for this time with Bram to just chase the word and encourage others to chase the word as well. I pray for those today, Lord, that are seeking you, that may be like this Ethiopian man who are confused by what they're reading or what they're hearing of the gospel. Lord, I just pray that you would reveal yourself to them through the Holy Spirit, that you are indeed Jesus, the Christ, who came to live and die, take on our sin and our punishment, to be buried and to rise again for our life, to defeat death on our behalf. Mm-hmm. And Father, I just would pray that those who want to know you would be able to say, Lord Jesus, here I am. Come to my life. Come into my heart. Renew me. Refresh me. Remake me in your image so that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are Lord and you are my Savior. Jesus, thank you for the promise that you will do just what you said you will do when we ask you to come in. You will come in and take residence up in our lives and begin a process of remaking us into the man or the woman that you have called us to be. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us, for dying for us, for doing the work on our behalf. It's in your name I pray, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Sandy, Jesus was brave enough to be obedient to his Father so we could be brave enough to come to him and accept his gift. Mm. We are not to shirk away from this. As we heard early on in the chapter 8 of Acts, sometimes that will unleash negative things around us.
Right.
But even if negative things are swarming around us because of our decision and our obedience to God, something beautiful can blossom within us. So even if our lives seem to be in turmoil that we did not create, that we did not earn ourselves, we can be at peace, but it's going to be a gift, not something we try to do for God. It's something that God does for us, in us. Mm-hmm. And for those who feel like they might be in turmoil or in situations of turmoil that they can't control, we understand that. And we are not saying, just smile and grin and bear it.
No.
But know that God knows and that God has a way, if we'll let him, of making it true joy. And you can go on your way rejoicing that God's word is prevailing in your heart and that whatever he's doing with it, whether we get it or not, he will make this into something that is beautiful and is powerful. And that this new life may just be beginning for those who are hearing this program today. And we want to hear from you. Mm-hmm. So if you have made decisions or God's moving your heart to make a turn, go a different direction, believe something you thought you couldn't believe before about the word, or be brave about something you never thought you could be brave about, let us know so we can pray for you too. Don't hesitate to drop us an email or drop us a letter. We'd love to know what God is doing in your life right now.
I would also add to that that we would love to hear from you about what God's showing you through the book of Acts. If you are reading along with us, if you are sharing this time with us, let us know what God is showing you. And we'd love to hear from you from that and to pray for you and with you about what God is revealing to you.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. If you missed anything today, you can listen again anytime. Just open up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. And while you're there, go ahead and take a moment to find out more about this ministry. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. When you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. Second, please share this broadcast with a friend or loved one. This will help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. Compassion Radio is 100% listener-supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. When you're there, just click on the donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd like to show your support using your smartphone or tablet, you can just text the word compassion to 53445. That's the word compassion to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. Thanks again so very much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.